it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a lot to get to today. The Preds, tough one last night against the Florida Panthers. We'll get a lot into the Predators today coming up throughout this hour and throughout the show here today. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Matt Miller from ESPN joining us at 8 o'clock to look ahead at the NFL Draft. Our weekly visit with Predators centerman Matt Duchene coming up at 8:45. And then Adam Vinken from The Athletic dropping by at 9:30. Joe Rexroad, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. What's that smile about?
The first time that I looked at you while the show has come on, I just immediately started thinking about Skiatika, and that's the only thing I could think about.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think Skiatika is going to have some lasting power, unfortunately. That's okay.
That was amazing. The video tweeted out yesterday, watching my face when you said it, watching your reaction when you realized it was sciatica. It was great.
Well, like Jim Diamond said, you know, there was a moment where you were like, yep, okay. Now I'm going to – So when you asked – when you asked, what was that word again? Did you have a feeling it was sciatica?
Oh, I knew.
Sciatica?
Yeah.
Skiatika.
Skiatika.
God. I almost sound like Beavis.
Skiatika.
Hey, I tell you what, though. When you're getting deep in the weeds on the injuries there for Caleb Farley, it's good to know that he's overcome sciatica, and now he's going to be in the NFL draft. First round, probably.
It's almost like scurvy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overcoming scurvy.
Congratulations to him.
I hope that the Titans draft him now, so we talk about this forever.
I really do, too.
12-year career.
John Robinson really needs you to draft Caleb Farley in the first round, if you're listening. So make sure you keep that in mind.
A lot of reaction, by the way, to, and this happens quite often with Charles Robinson on our show, but a lot of reaction, especially from Saints fans, to the tweeted out what he said about the Saints. And from Saints fans and media, basically like, yep, that sounds about right. They leak stuff, and then they do it, and they love trading up. So maybe that's what's going to happen.
Hey, we've got our own little mock drafts coming out today at 7 o'clock. I did some pro football focus mock draft simulator, which, as we know, you got to take as gospel coming up. So we're doing that at 7 o'clock. All three of us will compare some drafts that we've done. I think it's going to be interesting. There are a couple of different routes as I was kind of messing around with this yesterday. Some are trades. Some did not get offered trades. So very interested to see what your draft looks like as well coming up. It was not a good night last night for the Nashville Predators. They got hammered by the Florida Panthers last night. And it was an interesting game, Joe, because they were really getting totally dominated from the start of the game to the finish. And they found themselves up 4-3 after two periods. And you thought, okay, is this going to be another one of those games where UC Soros steals it for the Predators? They really didn't have any business being in that game last night. And they found themselves with the lead after 40 minutes. And then Jonathan Huberdeau, Alex Barkov, I mean, they just take over in the third period. Florida wins 7-4. They had 55 shots on goal last night. 55.
Well, if the game would have been tied or they would have been behind it all in the third, they would have gone way into the 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 55 after taking their foot off the pedal, taking the lead in the third.
Yeah. What
did they have, 42 after two,
42
right?
After two. 21 shots each in the first two periods.
And let me tell you something. Those were not just throwing stuff
up at
the net. They were shots. CMA's had a stat, and I wish I would have remembered it. On grade A, B, and C chances last night, huge on all of them. And he was like, "That's got to be the most in the league this year in a game." I don't know if he's right or not, but it's got to be close.
Panthers
had 33 scoring chances.
Yeah. I mean, they were just clinical last night. Look, I think the Predators played a part in that for sure. I thought their defense was atrocious last night.
We were praising their penalty kill yesterday, weren't we?
No. Oh, boy.
The bad old penalty kill showed up last night.
It was not good. And you know, even on the third goal by Florida, which I believe was Barkov's second goal of the game, he spins around Duchesne, and that's fine. But, like, Trennan's got him. He's coming in to close him off and force him to either, like, send it around the wall or take the body. And he just kind of, like, goes right around him. Doesn't even make contact with him. And then Barkov cuts to the corner. And, I mean, you give that guy room, he's going to make you pay. But Jonathan Huberdeau, I mean, he had 5 points last night. Barkov had 2 goals and assist. Sam Bennett lit him up. He had 3 assists. I mean, they were just toying with the Predators last night in the offensive zone.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was another one of those, can this team really hang with the best in the division nights?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just what it is. Because, really, over 120 minutes, good for the Preds to get 2 points. Like you said going into the series, get two. You figure the schedule Dallas has will help, and it did last night because it was another top team in the division flexing on a team trying to get in. Carolina pounding Dallas, but of the 120 minutes of hockey, how much of that was dominated by Florida? I mean, I would say, because, you know, even Monday, they...
Close to 100.
Yeah, that's.
I thought the Predators were really good in the first period of game one. I thought they were okay in the third period. Other than that, I mean, Florida was pretty dominant against the Predators.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, like last night, I mean, Saros... There, I guess, like, you get the one goal, and I forget who it was, where he's got a clear view, and you hope he – but, again, that's a total defensive breakdown. Like, how is a guy alone in the left circle with no one else around him? But, I mean, like, you hope he – other than that, what else would Saros have done last
night? Interesting because, like, you look at the box score, and you say, all right, well, they scored 7 goals last night. Probably was the wrong move to start UC Saros. I mean, and look, maybe it was anyway. Maybe you just give him the break. But it's weird to say, but I thought he was pretty good in a game where he gave up 6 goals. I mean, you got the empty netter for the 7th one, or the, you know, Huberdeau getting tackled by Ellis from behind there for the 7th goal. But, I mean, UC Saros gave up 6 goals in the game, and I thought he's pretty good. You don't see that happen very often in the NHL.
Yeah, well, I mean, through two periods, I was like, this is another, like, epic UC Saros game. He'd given up 3 at that point, but, yeah. What is it, Sports Center top 3, was it today?
Number 4,
I mean, one of his saves. Yeah, look, so I thought they should have started Pekka, but I'm not going back on this and saying, aha. I mean, it
didn't matter who they had in goal last night.
Yeah, you can't get dominated like that.
I mean, they were just totally hanging on the whole time. It's disappointing, and... You know, John Hines was pretty visibly frustrated after the game and talked about the way that the Panthers dominated the Predators from start to finish in that game. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say following the game last night.
We can go round and round about the game. At the end of the day, give Florida Panthers credit. They played a really good game. They were better than us. They were better than us in every facet. Speed, puck battles, execution, puck pressure. We scored some opportunistic goals. We got great goaltending. This isn't the recipe, you know, for us to be able to win. It wasn't the performance that we want. It's not the standard that we want to play at. Our goaltender played fantastic. We weren't good enough to win the game.
So that was John Hines after the game last night, and also said in his comments, the only person on the team that deserved a better fate was UC Saros in that game. It was interesting, and I don't know if it was a case of, I mean, the Predators running out of gas and they really need this 3-day break, or for whatever reason they just were not committed last night to playing the way you need to play defensively. And look, you have to give Florida credit too. I said this going into the series, they're a team that they're going to put up a lot of shots, and they dominate possession every game. They put up 95 shots on goal in 2 games. 95. And we talk about how good Carolina is. I mean, Florida is right there with Carolina in terms of dominating possession and getting a ton of shots every game. So you got to give them credit. I mean, Huberdeau was at a different level last night. Barkov is at that level every night, and he's amazing. But I thought there were some instances of some self-inflicted wounds by the Predators too. Like, you don't just give up 55 shots because the team's that much better than you. There were many parts of their game last night where Predators just didn't show up.
Yeah, and I thought about the fatigue thing. But, you know, it was a back-to-back for Florida, too. So they just were, and it kind of reminds me of the Carolina matchup, a little bit different, but just a step behind. They can't get to anybody. They can't hit anybody. The puck's already gone. It's over here, and now you're chasing here, and now you're chasing here. And it's like they just couldn't get out of that all night. So tons of credit to Florida because they're really good, and we don't talk about them like we talk about the other two teams at the top of this division, but they're really good. I mean, Barkov is – he's got to be – where is he on the underrated list in this league?
He's towards the top. He's getting to the point where if you're still underrating him, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude's unbelievable.
He's a problem. But, yeah, the Preds, just they just seem to be out of sorts, and it's like usually you like the way that they reacted Monday, they figured some things out. Sorry, they figured some things out. You know, it's like in this game, they just could never figure it out, and they just were a step slow the whole night and discombobulated. So, like, is that the opponent forcing you to get outside your game, or were they just kind of outside their game anyway? Again, after two periods, like you said, I was like, this could be like an incredible win for them.
Yeah.
And then the old 4-0 in the third for a team that's been very good in the third all year.
Hey, look, I know that it was everybody last night. It's probably time for the Eric Gudbranson experiment to be over. I mean, he's not good. It was not good. I mean, I get it. You go out, you get a big body. He's not good. There's no reason for him to be in the lineup. Just flat out, no reason.
So so at this point, before, you know, waiting on Fabro, waiting on Carrier to come back, but what would be your option at this point?
I guess you could put Jeremy Davies back in.
Put Davies back in.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I get it. Jeremy Davies, I don't think, is NHL ready. It was brutal last night from Gudbranson. And I didn't think he was very good Monday either. It's not going to work. If that's going to be your option for your third pairing with Ben Harper and Eric Gudbranson, that's not going to work. So you need Dante Fabro to come back very quickly. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Logan text in, it could have been 15-4 in that game. Thank you, Soros, for keeping me watching. I think it literally could have been.
I literally said that like 4 minutes before the show.
Yeah, you did.
Are you Logan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I,
we found
I think
your
we,
burner. We found your burner account.
I think we exaggerate on that sometimes. Like, hey, if it wasn't for this goalie, that game would have been 10-0. I think literally last night, if it wasn't for Soros playing at a pretty high level, probably literally would have been 12-4, 13-4.
That's also a game where, by the way, because he did play extremely well. He kept him in it, but that's a game that all the Vezina stuff, like that's he wasn't going to win anyway, yeah. But. Yeah. Games like that and games like 3 goals in 3 minutes against Chicago, those don't help.
Well, if it wasn't for Soros, it probably would have been 5-0 after one.
Yeah.
And then the Panthers are in cruise control.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Right. I mean, it's just totally dominant from start to finish. Kelton on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, in the words of Charles Barkley, that defense was terrible. It was not good.
Well, it's pretty soon. Charles Barkley will
see
be reacting.
It down.
He'll be reacting to this game. I'd love to see the alternative reality of Florida's shots if, like, it's 4-3 Preds through, like, a half of the third period.
Yeah. I mean, you end up with 64 shots on goal in the game.
Like, seriously. Like, because that's the only reason they didn't get to 60.
It is. And that's one of those games where if you're the Predators, you flush that thing down the toilet. You move on from it. I would hope that serves as – I don't know if a wake-up call is the right word because they've largely been playing pretty well. Sometimes games like that just happen. It's unfortunate that it happens this time of the year, but you can't allow something like that to happen again. You've got your biggest game of the season coming up on Saturday, and you got some help last night from Carolina, so it didn't do too much damage to you, but was an opportunity for you with Dallas and the schedule that they have to gain some ground and to give yourself a little bit of cushion as they head into Tampa Bay tomorrow night and then come in here for a huge matchup on Saturday. So We'll get a lot into that game coming up a little bit later this hour about the Dallas game. What I want to ask Predators fans right now is, as you look at these three teams, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida, which team presents the best matchup in the first round if you get there for the Predators? I think for a long time we've assumed it's Florida. After last night, I'm not so sure. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Predators, 7-4 losers last night against the Florida Panthers. They're up 4-3 after two, but Florida totally dominant in that game. They put up 55 shots on goal against the Predators last night. And now the Predators, 3 days off to regroup here before a massive game coming up against the Dallas Stars on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. It's interesting, but I mean, Joe, we've been kind of looking at this and, you know, obviously breaking down the stretch run here for the Predators, and they've still got a lot of work to do. And I mean, you're just going to have to win this game on Saturday against Dallas. I mean, this is a must-win game coming up for the Predators on Saturday against the Stars. But if they get there, if they find a way to push through here the rest of this season and get to the playoffs, which team of these big three in the Central Division would be the first, or would be the most favorable matchup for them? It's interesting to think about because, Joe, I've kind of operated under the assumption the whole time that probably Florida of the three teams would be the best matchup for the Predators. I mean, obviously Carolina, they've not won against all season long. Tampa Bay, the defending cup champions, Stamkos and Kucherov, you think will be back in the lineup at that point. So that makes them incredibly dangerous. And Florida's a team, while very good and very talented, I still think there's not a ton of experience there when it comes to the playoffs. But man, after watching these two games, especially the game last night where they're just totally dominant against the Predators, I'm not so sure. Like, what do you think the best matchup would be for the Predators at this point right now between those three teams, Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay, if they end up playing one of those three in the first round and getting to the playoffs?
Well, Jingles, FAL to Preds fan, says the couch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I don't like any of them.
I was about to say, the simple answer may be that none of them are a good matchup.
Yeah. A win in any of those would be quite an upset. I guess Tampa Bay. And I guess, I mean, the one thing about Tampa Bay, I mean, you can look at this two ways. One, they are the more experienced of the three. They've been through everything. They've been through the worst and the best. So that should help them. But since they are the defending champs, you know, sometimes maybe a team's not quite as hungry after they won it all, or it's just evens out on them a little bit the next year.
Yeah.
Because they just won it all. Like last year going in, Tampa Bay, you knew it was like, man, after what happened in 19, like, there, you know, tell me a team that's more motivated to win this thing, and they won it. So I guess I'd pick them on the law of averages slash maybe lack of hunger. But again, you can make the case, okay, but they're the most seasoned team too in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, they could be the biggest buzzsaw of them all when it comes down to it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, the fact that you'd pick Tampa Bay is kind of hilarious. But we have just seen both Carolina and Florida and how they've really handled this team. So there's always a little bit of recency bias on stuff like this.
Well, it's interesting. That is the subject of today's poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. If the Preds make the playoffs, who would you prefer to be their first-round opponent? Would it be Carolina, Florida, or Tampa Bay? Now, we are very early in the voting process. Right now, 73% going with Florida. 19% say Tampa Bay. Only 8% say the Carolina Hurricanes. Predators fans want no part of Carolina.
Yeah.
That's what we're learning in the early returns of this poll.
Well, I think that is the most – I mean, that has been the most thorough domination of this team this year is by Carolina, right? Although I think last night may be the one game that was the most thorough domination.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those two Florida home games back in March were pretty dominant by the Panthers too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I almost don't count that, you know?
And I think, what was it, the 2-0 loss in Florida where UC Saros had to make a million saves? Like, the Panthers have thoroughly outplayed the Preds in that season series.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the problem is, so is everybody else. I mean, Tampa Bay, you've played a little bit better recently. I still probably view Tampa Bay as the most dangerous of the three. Like, you've got the best goalie in the world. You got Kucherov coming back in there. You've got the best defenseman in the world right now. They're loaded. So I understand that maybe the temptation would be, well, okay, you've played a little bit better against Tampa Bay as of late, and you have. I mean, you throttled them 7-2. And even the game you lost 3-0, I mean, Vasilevsky was great in that game. I still think there's another level that Tampa Bay is going to crank this thing to when it comes down to the most and when it comes to, you know, the playoffs. So I think the simple answer is probably that none of these three matchups are all that great. I think we've talked about that for a while here on this show, which goes back to the deadline and making the decisions that you made. But I don't know. Like, I look at Carolina right now. I think their speed gives the Predators a lot of problems. Florida, they got a combination of the two. They're fast, and they're huge. I mean, Huberdeau's huge. Barkov, you can't knock him off the puck. I mean, they present a lot of issues out there. So, I don't know. If I had to pick between the three, I would give the slight edge, I guess, to Florida because they don't have a ton of playoff experience, but I don't feel great about any of the three matchups for the Predators.
I think Tampa – I would pick Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay would also be my pick of the three as most likely to win it.
Yeah.
You know, like you get them right away, and the defending champs knock them off.
Kind of the Chicago factor from 17.
Right.
You get the Goliath early, and if you beat them, then it might catapult you.
Right, and that's still – yeah, like I would still favor Tampa Bay projecting, like you said. They're going to crank it up, got people back. You know, I would project them as the best chance to win it of the three, but I think I'd pick them.
Who would you go with? If you had to pick a first-round opponent right now, Ryan Porth, for the Nashville Predators, who are you picking?
It's hard to say Florida after what we just watched the last two nights, honestly.
It's hard to say it.
I have said this. The last four games that the Preds have played against Tampa – they have looked really good, even though the four games were split evenly, two apiece. And if you can somehow get to Vasilevsky, they have no good backup plan. Like Carolina, they have three goalies. Florida, if Driger is healthy, you know, if you get to Bobrovsky, they can go to Driger, who has owned you.
Good move last night, by the way.
Yeah.
And in goal from Quenneville.
Bringing in Spencer Correct. Knight, baby.
So, I understand Tampa Bay is the defending champs. They've also been in cruise control a little bit for the last month, month and a half, and you just hope that maybe they get Kucherov back in the lineup and there isn't that instant chemistry because you're adding him into the fray for the first time all season in the first round of the playoffs. You've been playing playoff hockey for 2 months at that point. I would probably roll the dice with the Lightning and see how it goes.
I mean, I understand that thought process. I think the reality of the situation is if that's your best option, you're probably in a lot of trouble once the playoffs come around. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, I look at this team right now, and we've talked about the difference between playing against your Chicago's of the world and Dallas and Columbus. I mean, Columbus and Detroit are a separate part of this conversation. The good news for the Predators is you've got a couple against Columbus coming up after this game on Saturday against the Stars. But, I mean, even the game that you won on Monday where I thought you played so well in the first period and you got to your forecheck, like that was, to me, Florida didn't even allow them to get to the forecheck last night. They had the puck the whole time,
yeah.
And you couldn't do anything with it. And it was an absolute clinic last night from the Panthers.
Yeah, they couldn't establish anything. I mean, look, they got some nice grimy goals.
Yeah.
You know, they're up 4-3. So they did some good things amid being dominated in the first two periods. But, yeah, it's just hard. This discussion after that game, it's hard to go with Florida, but I think the overall point is, yeah, it's going to be a big upset if they get in for them to advance and maybe even for them to really push any of these three in a series.
I do see your point, though, Robbie, with the Panthers of the fact that they don't have much playoff experience as a team. So
now they do have one of the greatest coaches of all time, so that helps.
Who you swept?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he did.
4 years ago.
He did. He's also won three cups.
Sure.
And he's got this team rolling right now.
He can't handle Harry Zolnerchuk.
That's true. Maybe that's what you need.
The Z factor.
Go get back. Z back.
Yeah. We'll continue this discussion on the other side, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you had to pick a first-round opponent for the Predators today, who would it be between Tampa Bay, Florida, and Carolina? We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Predators dominated last night by the Florida Panthers. Florida wins 7-4. They score four goals in the third period. They put up 55 shots on goal last night against UC Soros and the Nashville Predators. And now asking the question, our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. If the Preds make the playoffs, who would you prefer to be their first-round opponent? Would it be Carolina? Would it be Florida? Or would it be the reigning Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning? So far, 57% say Florida, 36% say Tampa Bay, only 7% going with the Carolina Hurricanes. So even after the drubbing the Predators took last night to the Panthers still leading the way so far very early in this poll.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like the resistance of what I fall into a lot, which is whatever I just saw, I overreact to. So I don't think that there's a – I don't think there's a really wrong answer here. I think it's close. The I guess are there all wrong answers?
Yeah, maybe
if you're picking someone to play.
They could all be wrong.
Yeah.
That guy on Twitter says, honestly, all three of these teams scare me. The Canes and Bolts are ridiculously good. To say the least, I just hope we can make it through the first round if we make it to the playoffs. I mean, right now that's gonna be a tall task for this Predators team. I mean, we knew that coming into this race here. And it doesn't matter who the first round opponent is. The Predators are going to be an underdog in that series. I mean, they know that at this point. So, number one, you got to find a way to get there. This game coming up on Saturday is massive. And the Predators did get some help last night from Carolina. They came out and beat Dallas 5-1 in the game last night. So, some statements made last night by the top three teams in the division. The Lightning hammered the Blackhawks 7-4. Carolina takes down Dallas 5-1. And the Predators just get totally dominated by the Panthers 7-4 in that game as well. 55 shots on goal. I mean, you're talking about three teams that when you start looking around the rest of the league, I mean, these three teams in the Central with Florida, Tampa Bay, and Carolina, they're going to be right up there in terms of teams to people talk about to be favorites and to win the Stanley Cup. And the crazy part is, like, that 2-3 matchup in this division is going to be pretty insane in the first round. Whether it's, I mean, right now it would be Florida and Tampa Bay playing each other in the first round of the playoffs.
It's not fair.
It'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was massive incentive here.
Yeah.
For those three to take on Nashville or Dallas versus one of each other. I mean, big, big incentive. So that can work for you if you're the Preds as you move forward. Tampa Bay has Dallas.
Three more times.
Sure as heck want to win those games. Now, yeah. Then somehow you hope it gets to Carolina just clinching right before you because you finish with them. So maybe it'll break just right for the Preds. But, again, if that's how you're looking at things, you know, then do you really feel good about doing anything in the playoffs? I mean, you gotta earn this, Preds.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I think if you're a Predators fan and the only thing you're concerned about is just making it to the playoffs, then you're probably just rooting for Carolina the rest of the way. Like, you're rooting. I mean, they've got Detroit Thursday, Columbus, and then three against Chicago. You're just probably rooting for Carolina the rest of the way just to get in. Now, if you're trying to avoid Carolina like the plague in the first round of the playoffs, that's going to be difficult. Like, right now, if I had to kind of capture it here, I think Carolina is a pretty significant favorite to win the division just based on their schedule. I mean, you've got Detroit, Columbus, Chicago three times, and then you close out the season twice against the Predators. Meanwhile, I mean, Tampa Bay over here, you've got the Stars three times coming up. You still have a game against the Panthers as well. I mean, Now, you do have Detroit twice as well, but you closed out the season with two against Florida. Like, those last two games for Tampa Bay to close out the season against Florida, you could just be rolling right in the playoffs playing them again against Florida. So, Carolina, by far, has got the easiest stretch coming up here.
Yeah. You know, it's – I mean, to me, it's – you just – you're obviously, if you're the Preds, you're focused on this game, on what's ahead, on getting yourself back on track. I mean, it's kind of jarring to see, like, that third period because, again, they were getting dominated, but they were finding a way. They were still – they were being outclassed, but they still were playing with great energy. They were playing with confidence that they've had over the stretch.
Yep.
And then you just have – it's like it collapsed in the third. So can you get back to playing how you want to play and maybe building back up to those two Carolina games, which – we don't know what it's going to be from their perspective, but probably going to be the deciding games.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. Even if the Predators make the playoffs, you know, I don't think that they're going to get past the first round. But to me, I'm very satisfied with the season. I'm much more optimistic about the team now than I was when the season began, simply because of the change of identity of the team and also the young players and their development. And I wanted to ask you guys this. Are you more optimistic about the team's overall future now versus how you were when the season started?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We appreciate it. I would say yes. Like, I think the thing that stands out to me is – the young guys have come in, and young guys that you didn't expect. Like, I expected at some point Ellie Tolvanen to take a step. Now, I'm not sure I expected him to take as big of a step as he's taken this year, but I expected him to be a factor with this group at some point. The fact that, you know, Olivier has come in and played the way he did. Tanner Janot, another goal last night for Tanner Janot, has come in and played the way that he has. You know, Carrier being as good as he's been when he's been healthy. I think those are things that I did not expect to happen, at least not to the degree in which they have. And I think you have to feel better about this group and about this core moving forward than you did before that. Now, you know, you got to keep it in the lens of this team is still supposed to be in the window when they're winning Stanley or competing for Stanley Cup. And that's what I go back to. This team, with the contracts that they've signed and the money that David Poile has put on the table, you should be competing for Stanley Cup based on, I mean, Johansson's 28 years old. Matthew Shane's 30 years old. Roman Josi's 30 years old. They're supposed to be right in the prime. So, I look, with the contracts they've signed, that's what the expectations still should be, and I don't know that they're all that close to that right now.
No, but that's not what Bob was asking. I mean,
of course. It is what he's asking.
Well, I took
that's it. You can't separate that.
Well, I mean, I took his question as, are you more optimistic now than you were a few weeks ago? Isn't that what he said?
He said start of the season.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I guess start of the season is a little different. That's the thing. It's been such a winding road here. By the way, why is Jared Stillman in the studio? Like, why is Jared yelling at me to say no to this question? Don't approach the mic. You're not welcome to the microphone. No. Jared's not in my head. He's actually in the studio.
He is in your head.
Okay, from the start of the season, I still actually would say yes, a little bit. Because, you know, I mean, Saros is the biggest thing to me.
Sure.
I mean, I think Saros might be the guy. Look at Jared. I'm going to say, as I talk, I'm going to look at Jared's reactions. No? No way? You don't think Saros, I mean, Saros has not demonstrated anything to you? You don't think that he's demonstrated that he might be a guy? I can't read his lips. But you mentioned some of those guys. I mean, obviously from a few weeks ago, I'm much more optimistic. I mean, we were talking about blowing the whole thing up.
Right, but the question is, can this team win a cup?
Oh,
that's the lens.
Well, no, if that's – right.
I don't know how you can view it through any other lens with the contracts they've got on the table.
Yeah, well, again, but the question was more optimistic from one point to another.
Right, but my answer is yes. What does optimistic mean? Does optimistic mean, do you think this team is close to winning a cup? Because that's what you have to determine if you're David Poile. If the answer is no, then you still have to make major changes anyway.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're all good. Stay just as you are, and the cup is coming your way. Something has to change. But a few weeks ago, I was like, just, I mean,
sure.
You're moving out foundational pieces and redoing the whole thing. And I think with some of these young guys, Tolvanen, certainly, Carrier, like you said, I mean, this fourth line has been, I mean, they're pretty consistently good. I feel like, you know, you can maybe get there with some smart moves to bump yourself up rather than blow it up and start from the rubble and wait 4 years to get back there. Because, I mean, we know how some of those rebuilds work in this league.
Some are still going.
Yes.
Been going for a long time.
Let's and go we'll to the, keep going.
Yeah. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend Pred Kelly texts in, I personally don't think they get in, but if they do, there really is not a good matchup. This team doesn't have the firepower to hang with those top three. Hines deserves credit for the turnaround, but he clearly is still making bad decisions on the third pair. Woof, those two are bad. Talking about Harper and Gudbranson.
I think yesterday I said yesterday, Gudbranson, like, you know, he hasn't been.
He's not good.
Yeah, he got exposed a bit last night. But again, he's a depth guy. You don't want him in your lineup, really. You need guys back. You need Forsberg back too.
Yeah, that would be great to get number nine coming back, hopefully on Saturday for the Predators. We'll see what happens over the course of these next 3 days. Speaking of that game, the table is now set for the Predators for their biggest game of the year coming up on Saturday. Is it as simple as, hey, you win that game in regulation on Saturday, you're going to be in the playoffs? We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Predators led this game 4-3 after two, but the Panthers came up with four third-period goals, and Spencer Knight, who just came in to start the third period, will get credit for the victory.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I don't think that's a game we're very proud of. We've been moving in the right direction in a lot of games lately, and tonight I think we took a step back. I think this group obviously is disappointed in the way we played in front of our goaltender. He gave us a chance to win, and it didn't come through, but we need to move on. We need to take some things. We need to learn from it, move on, and we have the biggest game of our year coming up.
That was Predators defenseman Ryan Ellis last night after the game. Says the biggest game of the year coming up on Saturday for the Predators against the Dallas Stars. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plain Joe text in, I don't follow hockey closely. I mostly keep up with the Predators through your show. As a matter of fact, every single time I've ever watched a Predators game, they've lost. It's gotten so bad that I started feeling responsible and stopped turning the games on. So when I saw the Predators with a 4-3 lead last night, I turned the game on. I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes I don't know the strength of my own power. So we found the source of the problem. It's Plain Joe.
Plain
on the text
Joe.
Line. We did have Rick text in at like 4:40 this morning.
Okay.
Blaming me for Victor Arvidsson's injury.
Oh, boy.
For selecting him in Preds picked the click.
So not only do your guys not score, now they may get hurt.
Going the other way.
Golly.
It's not going well.
So they're like your personal voodoo doll.
Yeah,
when you
like
pick
it's,
them.
We thought it was as bad as it could get in terms of my futility in Preds picked the click. Now it's getting worse.
I feel like Rick's been a little rough on you in the text line.
Yeah. He called me Robbie Fanley one time.
Robbie Fanley.
Hey. Teach
so
them.
Where's Jared? Did Jared leave? All right, so we can carry on now.
He's got you flustered being here today, doesn't he?
Well, actually, if I knew he was going to be up, I would have sent him over to help my kids get ready for school.
That's right. Make yourself useful this morning.
Trying to get the FaceTime going here.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, give me a full complement of players and just get in and I'll take my chances. If we get back Favreau, Forsberg, and Carrier, and they get a few games underneath them to get their legs going, everyone stays bought in. I'll give us a shot against anyone. What do you think about that? Getting some bodies back in the lineup. Forsberg, Favreau, maybe Carrier down the stretch as well. And maybe you feel a lot better about the matchup against any one of these top three teams.
I don't think you're going to feel great. But it is funny that today it's just doom and gloom. Yeah. And like, oh, my God, they're going to get – oh, fire. Oh, my God, they're pointless, worthless. And yesterday, like, seriously, it was like, ooh, Saros, could he steal something? I don't know. I mean – We need to be a little bit more level here, a little bit more level-headed. No, Jared is shaking his head at me. I don't know if I can do the show with Jared mocking me from the window. You've really struggled
with him.
I mean, I'm not. You
went 2 days without talking about him on the show, and now it's going to be every time.
I'd feel better if you were fresh off a workout, Jared, and dripping in sweat in the other room. You know, I'd feel at least like you'd earned the right to be there.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD text in. My question is, have the Predators peaked with the contracts and players they have on their roster currently? What's the next move? I think there's a fairly significant gap between them and the top three. I don't know how you could watch them play against the top three this year so far and not say that there's a pretty significant gap.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's a weird year, too, because obviously in a normal year you'd have a feel for how they match up with the Colorado a few times or, you know, something. I mean, it's just a strange year because you're just constantly playing these teams. This division is better than I thought it would be. I mean, I didn't think Florida was going to be this good.
I didn't either.
You know, really Carolina either. Yeah, I mean, they're good. Like, I knew they're good, but they're better than I thought they'd be a little bit. So I agree there's a gap. You know, how do you make up that gap? I think you make up that gap if you play like they've played, you get goaltending consistently from UC Soros, and one more forward at least who's really a game changer. Now, how do you get to that guy? I don't know. But I think the center situation is, again, part of the discussion. What are those guys going to be? Are they both going to be here? If they are here, what are they have to do more than they've done?
Yeah. Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, I wonder how much of this was fatigue from a back-to-back. We could hang for them for one game, but because of the back-to-back, they petered out after two periods. Could they be able to pull off more than one complete game with days of rest in between a series?
Florida didn't have a day of rest.
Yeah. I mean, you've got – look, I realize the Predators have played a lot lately, and they've got injuries that have piled up, but, I mean, Florida's been dealing with the same thing.
You know, someone last night was like, well, Arvidsson, that totally changed everything. He left the game. You saw the third period. I mean, you know, losing
it
a forward.
It didn't change that much.
Right. I mean, they were getting dominated anyway. They were getting dominated with Arvidsson. Yeah. You know, obviously it doesn't help to be short a forward in a game like that in the third period of a back-to-back, but they were getting absolutely – boxed in the entire game with him, too.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, in the words of Jared Stillman, we need a big boy forward, consistent points and goals.
He just talked about that during the break.
There you go.
Big boy forward.
Big boy
that
forward.
That is one of his favorite little phrases, right?
Yeah.
Like, big boy forward, let the big dog eat. What else, Jared? What else have you got?
Got to pay what you owe.
Yeah. Oh, pay what you owe. But Turris is gone, so who's the pay what you owe guy now? Oh, he's saying all of them.
Okay. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CC text in, it doesn't matter who the Predators play if Hines insists on keeping Soros in net and continues to make questionable lineup changes. Does anybody know why Duchesne was moved to the first line? The line was scored upon twice, and he committed the penalty after he was moved.
Because Arvidsson
got
hurt.
Well, he was moved because Arvidsson was out.
What was the first comment there? He said as long as he keeps playing Soros?
He's playing Soros. Like, what do you need to see out of UC Soros to convince you that he needs to play?
He had a
1.950 save percentage.
Over 18 games.
Oh, my God. Why are we having this conversation?
Goals against average.
I mean, even Jared can't possibly hot take that one. Right? He's walking out of the room. Oh, he's not sure. Oh, my goodness. I mean, who was that? I'm sorry.
CeCe.
Sometimes I zone out when you start reading these. CC, that's outrageous.
You zone out when I start reading the text.
Well, I'm not locked in when you say the names a lot.
Right. You also zone out when the word sciatica pops up on your laptop screen.
He's going to bring this up 12 times a day. It's going to be awesome.
Have you guys ever written or have you read aloud? Have you seen that word and said it correctly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. I mean, I believe
it, but
you.
I, know what it
is. I believe Robbie because he immediately was like,
"I knew
oh,
it without
boy.
Even reading the word."
Yeah,
so.
You're like, oh, "I know what that is." I believe you.
If I knew what it was spelled like,
well, go back and check the tape because you said it, and you're like, "Well, I probably messed it up." And Porth's like, "Yeah, probably so."
Well, I didn't know what it what it was spelled like.
Yeah.
Like excuses. If I saw the word, it would be like, "Yeah, that's sciatica."
Uh huh. Excuses.
Okay.
Excuses.
All right.
Sciatica wouldn't have given up six goals last night.
That's right.
Maybe they need Sciatica on the top line.
The next star Finnish goaltender.
Yes. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, no matter what happens this year, the Preds will be awesome next year. So many young, talented players coming up with the veteran core as well.
Okay.
I mean, there's
sunshine
today.
Well, there is some sunshine even after that game. Awesome, though? I don't know about awesome.
Yeah, what does awesome mean?
Again, go back to Bob's question. Am I more optimistic that they can be competitive and be a playoff team next year? with this without doing much? Yes. But to your point, is that enough? Is that the standard now? I mean, it's been gaga around here about a team scrounging for fourth place, right?
Well, that's because you're going from how bad it was
right.
to what it is now. I still think in this conversation this year, we've lost sight of what this group is supposed to be. Like, if you would have told me in 2019 that this city would be celebrating a run to get to the last playoff spot because they started the season off so poorly, I said, really? Like, with this group that you've just signed all these big contracts to? Like, I don't think you can separate that.
Yeah.
Like, you're still supposed to be in a season of your franchise where you're competing for Stanley Cup.
Yeah, if optimism is if that's are you optimistic that this team can be a contender? I mean, again, more than a few weeks ago, yes, but I don't see how anybody could look at this and say, this group, just grow together and you're going to be right there. There's got to be something else.
So let me ask you this. Look, we know how big this game on Saturday is going to be for the Predators against the Stars. The Stars take on Tampa Bay on Thursday. Is it as simple for the Predators as, hey, you win this game against Dallas, you're going to be in the playoffs, and if you don't, you're going to have a real hard time? I mean, you got Columbus coming up twice after the Dallas game, if you're the Predators. Columbus, I mean, they might as well have just packed it in so far this year. Now, you do have two against Carolina to end the season, and it remains to be seen what's going to be left on the table for Carolina. Are they going to be playing for first place in the division? Will they have that wrapped up at some point by the time they get here for the final two games of the season? That's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. In your mind, if the Predators lose this game against Dallas on Saturday, could that be a nail in the coffin for them, for their season?
Yeah, it's a two-point lead, two games in hand for Dallas. One of those games will happen. They will play Tampa Bay tomorrow. Yeah, especially like if Dallas knots them up with a game in hand and then beats them Saturday. I mean, I think that's a real problem for the Preds. Now, I think that game tomorrow's big, you know.
Yeah.
Too. So
Predators, you know, fans, put on your Tampa Bay Lightning jersey tomorrow.
Yeah. If they lose and then you lose to them, then, you know, you're tied. They have a game in hand. They have tough games. They have a real tough schedule on the stretch. So it wouldn't be over, but I just feel like, you know, that game is probably the game of the year. The winner probably gets in and probably vaults forward from that win. And the loser, you can't feel good about yourself. You can't feel good about the way it's going. And it's probably – that's probably going to determine it. But it's certainly possible both ways that the loser could still get in.
It's going to be a massive game coming up on Saturday. I'm not going to sit here and say it absolutely boils down to, hey, you win that game for the Predators and you're in. Because if you win that game and then you go out and just have a clunker against Columbus the next night, like how much are you really accomplishing at that point? But that's going to be a gigantic, gigantic game for the Predators on Saturday. I think the atmosphere is going to be pretty good as well. So interested to see how much of an impact that could have on the game for the Predators coming up as well. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the NFL draft. We've got some mock drafts that all three of us have put together on the Pro Football Focus Mock Draft Simulator. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.